thingamajews and whatchamahabits.
Dads are more fun. Another episode from the roads. I am still in Omaha, Nebraska at the lovely Hilton Garden Inn. This time I am with the lovely Heather Jones is here with me. And I'm a big fan of Heather that I'm... I may have told a story or two about you on the podcast, I think. Heather's the house MC at the Funny Bone. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Also a working comic, does, you know, shows on the road as well and stuff. And there's something about Heather's humor that especially resonated with me when I first met her. You know, she's a mother of six children, has a crazy as hell family. All of these things come together to make the perfect recipe. That is, I was thinking about this when we talked about when I asked you to do the show, because we had somebody write in and said, you know, it'd be nice, even though it's a dad podcast, to have a mom on, just as, you know, spice it up. And so the first thing that came to mind is like, well, if I'm going to get a mom, I'm going to have Heather Jones on here, because not only you are a mom to like the power of 10, but you're also funny as hell, in my opinion. I like
It's just gonna go downhill from heel.
What are you talking about?
Heel.
No, now you see, if you're gonna do this, you're gonna have to talk. You have to say words correctly.
Crap. You have to edit that part out. I like the fact that Bill does cuss.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel better.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because when I first started, I'm like, oh, Justin's not cussing. I'm like, oh, I don't know if he's like. Edit all the fuck words and all that stuff. And
no,
like,
let
okay,
it fly.
Now I can just, like, let
listen,
it fly.
we have a good chunk of truckers, I've learned, listen to this show. So if they can't handle an F-bomb every now and then they don't need to be listening anymore. It's a free show. I mean, there are probably about 10 or 12 people that pay $2 a month as a donation. That could stop at any time, you know. They're just listening to a show that's free. They don't get a chance to judge it. If you don't like it, just turn it off. And now I'm angry at them. I don't know why I'm angry.
I don't know. This is going to be the ape thing all over again.
Yeah. You listened. Wow, you went back.
I boned up a little bit.
Boned up. What was your perspective on the perspective episode?
I totally agree with Bill, because I kind of get this when I'm doing my bits about my children. And I really worry that people won't think that I'm actually sincere about my children, you know, like
that you don't love them, like,
cause exactly,
it,
yeah.
People don't know, but Heather has a lot of jokes about jokingly dropping her kids off at the hospital when she finds out there's an age limit to, like, you can't. So that, all right, the 10-year-old gets back in the van and stuff like that.
I have a pedophile joke.
Yes, yeah, you do. One of my favorites that I'm butchering it, is the one where you. She has a joke where she said that, you know, after your sixth kid or once you get up to a certain number, you said, I don't care if it's a boy or girl. I'm just hoping it's my husband's.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to get my Mongolian beef from someplace else if it comes out Asian, you know.
Find a new place for takeout.
Yeah.
Because they all look Asian when they're first born.
And so that's what those jokes, watching it on stage the first time, I was like, it's a really nice, sincere, like, you have this very endearing character and look to you. And then to hear these, like, horrible, like, things come out of your mouth is just very compelling to me. I loved it, you know? And so we kind of bonded and have what I would classify as an interesting friendship, where a couple weeks out of the year we interact and I'm unbelievably fond of you. Like, I think about it every time I come here, is that I wish that either I lived here or you lived in Omaha, because then we would hang out all the time and be the best of buddies. But such is life, and that's the way it goes. But let's get a little background about you. So you have a husband, of course.
Yeah.
Obviously you have six kids. How many boys, how many girls, and let's go ages.
Okay, so there's four boys and two girls.
Uh-huh.
And the oldest four are the boys and the last two are girls.
Okay.
And then there's Elliot, who's 13, Liam, who's 8, Aiden, who's 7, Ewan, who's almost 4, Ella, who's just turned 2, and Lily, who is almost 1. It's gone on my fingers.
No, I know you did.
I think I messed up the names, though. No, I got them straight.
Yeah. See, and that's it right there. That's what I love about Heather, is that you for me, at least when I watch it, I don't doubt for a minute that you don't love your kids or whatever, but there is that funny aspect of you literally having to pause and go, okay, wait, who's next? What happened? But there are six of them. Anybody who, because, and this is the other reason why I like the idea of you being on the show, is that for the most part, most of our listeners have four kids and they like to poke fun at Bill and I because we only have two. I feel like you're a big fuck you to all of them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you think you're all high and mighty and tough,
with
you know,
four kids.
With your four kids. And,
yeah. 2-to-1 ratio. Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, how do you, my first question is, how do you have any time for you? Like, is that ever built in or is that not even an issue? It's beyond that. What?
I think it's really beyond that. Like, yeah. Like there's, you know, I definitely stretch it out in the, when I get some chance to sleep in, mm-hmm. I'll milk that for everything it's worth. And it's the comedy is my, like my own little.
That's your break.
Yeah, that's my Mary Kay. You know, like everybody has their own little side thing. People at work are crocheting, and I'm like working on jokes about like, should it be the third kid or the fourth kid I sacrificed to the pedophile next door? You know, it's totally really messed up. But I think definitely it's the comedy is what I take away as, you know, okay, that's my thing. That's what I do for myself, mm-hmm. and that's my outlet, and that's probably what's, you know, kept me from going insane and weirding everybody out at work or no. going sent to HR for inappropriate jokes.
You know, has that ever happened to you? Because I believe that could. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. No.
That's impressive for you. It is.
It is very impressive. And the fact that I think, like, I've been close a couple times, and there have been a couple times where I'm like, but no, like, you know.
You do have to bite your tongue, though?
I do.
To,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not that's not okay to do.
Do you say that to yourself, or you've heard that somebody say that to you?
No, I've heard that say. Yeah,
yeah. You've had somebody say.
That's been said. No, like, no.
You do have this. This is again why I am so in love with you. Is that you do have that ability to have it be like ha 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 ha. Oh no. But to me, someone like me, I love that. I love the aspect of it, just feeling the conversation and the energy change. Just turn a little bit to like, what just happened? Why do I feel dirty? I don't understand. So did you always know, I have to ask the stupid questions, you know, that even you talk about in your act. Did you always know you were going to have this many kids? Was that part of the plan or?
That's a good point. We had, what I'll say is that we aimed for five. Mm-hmm. And then after the third one, we thought, well, having, this is my official statement. Okay. I always thought five.
Can you
was
tell your
number.
Publicist to wait outside, please? Can you at least do that so I can feel like you're talking normally? Can you at least?
So what?
My official statement.
My official statement is, we thought five was a good number. I think because when I was growing up, like we had four in our family, and up right. the street they had five.
Easy
like,
to count by fives. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, but then I thought that sounds really stupid just to go for a number. It's really the quality of kid you're going after, which okay. I don't know like how that works in my head.
Yeah.
Like, So then after the third one, we said, okay, we're just going to take each one at this point as they come, and we'll decide whether or not we keep having more or if that's going to be too much.
Yeah.
And then we got to five, and then she was a girl, and we didn't know that she was going to be a girl, and that fucked everything up.
Oh.
Because she's the only girl, and she's the youngest. I'm like, oh, she's going to be a little bitch. She's going to be a little shit. Like, she's going to be a spoiled little brat.
All right.
So then we... And actually, now I'll go back a step too, because when I found out I was pregnant and I didn't know if it was going to be a girl or a boy, when I went to the doctor, he thought it was perhaps twins. So for about 2 weeks until we had like the next ultrasound, I thought, oh my God. So then I kind of started fantasizing like, what if it's girl? What if they're twin girls? Oh my God, I'll have four boys and two girls. Oh my God. And then, you know, so to not just be the one baby. And then we didn't find out till she was born that it was a girl. And then we just kind of...
Why not? You wanted to be surprised?
No, they couldn't find out. Like, she just was... It couldn't tell, you know, the ultrasound. I was like, further along than I had thought. Mm-hmm. And I just, at that point...
Were you like this close to having a TLC episode?
Yeah, exactly.
Further along than you
Born in the bathroom. Yeah. She was 9 months pregnant, had no clue. Yeah.
Oh, damn it, Heather, I love you. Oh,
so
damn it.
So, after the fifth one, we just kind of went, I don't think we're really ready to, I wanted to either give her a chance for a sister or someone littler, I don't even know how to say that word.
More littler?
Littler,
there
yeah.
You, go.
You added that out. It's going to do a lot of work.
It's going to be so much work for me. Maybe we should just stop now.
Oh, shit.
you know, we had a good run. We tried it. Let's just go. Let's go get a late lunch or something.
Yeah, no, it's like, this thing is either going to get me arrested or just make me sound like a freaking idiot.
No, it's not. I know. Listen, I'm telling you, I cannot tell you this enough, that our listeners are going to love every ounce of you.
Oh, sure.
I know it with my full heart. I do. I do. You're not giving yourself enough credit. So go back to your official statement.
Okay, so that's it. So then we thought, okay, one more. And then and after we found out we were pregnant with the sixth one, we're like, okay, let's stop.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. We can't. Six is definitely the cutoff point. Okay, now the unofficial statement is, we just like having sex and we just
couldn't afford a
yeah, we just never thought about, not having any more, you know, we just kind of really played it
by ear. Honestly, is it really that simple that you were like, because obviously you and I have had, you know, probably, I guess, what could be categorized as inappropriate conversations on some level. And you get a tone from hanging out with somebody that they are kind of a sexual person. And I would imagine that your husband has no concerns about his sex life other than the fact that the sheer number of his children sometimes can cock block him. You know what I mean? Like I imagine that rather than him having to juggle the children and then wrestle you to the ground in the bathroom and your transition from the shower into the bedroom, you know what I mean? It's more about you two trying to find a moment that you could sneak away together. Am I right in that?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
So is it just as simple as that? You know, I'm horny now. Let's do it. And oh shit, we got another kid coming.
We definitely know how birth control works.
Yeah, I know that. Right.
But it was like we just didn't feel like I guess we didn't put a whole lot of thought into it, and we were just like, you know, we knew when we were done, but we just got. Having them until we were like, okay, that's enough.
You're passionate people. Just reckless abandon with your sex.
So it's like a mix between the first one, which was probably not as thought out as my official statement would claim.
Yeah.
And then the second part, which is like, we just kind of had a feeling like.
Yeah, because you can't tell your kid they're an oopsie daisy.
First one was.
Yeah.
First one we calculate his birth date based on our anniversary. Like, okay, we were born 6 months later, he was okay. So,
he's still dead. Were you a knocked up bride? Is
yeah,
that nice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was, I'm imagining, it wasn't a shotgun wedding type situation. Husband wasn't trying to, you guys were in love. He wasn't like,
no,
I got to marry this broad.
No, we it's kind of a messed up story. Like when we got married, my sister, I remember my husband at the time was 4 years older than me. We met in college and he had a job in insurance and everything. Mm. And I was like still in college and he wanted to get married and I was like, no, I don't want to get married because that's such a cliche. I don't want to get married just because we're pregnant. That's so stupid. You know, and then like a couple of weeks later, my sister goes, do you love him? I'm like, yeah, of course I love him. We had been together like 2.5 years. Of course I love him, you know? And she goes, well, are you ever going to get married? I'm like, we'll get married. She goes, are you a fucking idiot? Do it now. Get the insurance. Like, are you stupid?
Yeah.
Why would you not? Like, you just want to prove a point. Like, I'm not going to get married just because I'm pregnant. Like, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I didn't know that you could get on Medicaid or anything like that. I thought I was going to have to pay like $10,000 to have a kid. So I'm like, hey, yeah, maybe we should just elope now.
Yeah.
But my family is more like Catholic in the sense, you know, like you have to prepare for the wedding and everything. And that takes like six, we need to have that much time. So
baby's coming.
I know. I need a wellness checkup tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be a reality show on CMT coming soon. We had to elope early because one of the spermies got my eggies.
My sister wants to have.
And we needed the insurance to cover little Junior Bebop coming out.
My sister wants to have like a white trash Kardashian version on CM. I'm like, I could only play on CMT, Tracy. Yeah, she's exactly. Like, that is us. That is so us.
No. Now that I've met your sister, it is not us. She needs to change those two letters into a single vowel that is an I. Maybe she could go to and say me. Maybe I'll give her that. But let me tell you something, listeners. There's a profound difference between the eldest child of, I've already forgot her name. I feel like, we don't need to tell everybody that, I guess. But I'm saying there's a profound difference between her eldest sister and Heather and her little brother, right? That's your younger brother?
That's my little, yeah. Yeah, there's four of us.
So there's another sister who I'm assuming is the second child or your older sister right above you? Is she a little bit more on the normal scale, or is it is there a civil war? She's the middle.
She's the middle, and like she's definitely
it's controlled chaos. Yeah, maybe is a way to describe it. Temporary, yeah, like when the full moon comes out, she wolfs out and you know starts knocking out people's teeth, sometimes her own, or takes apart a couch, you know, or something along those lines. But like I'll tell you the story of what happened with Heather's eldest sister last night is that. Heather brought her to go see Tom and I at the show, probably more so Tom than me. And so then there was a phone conversation that Heather had with her sister where she said, listen, don't yell out Biff. Don't yell any lines from the movie. Don't do any of that stuff. All right. You just sit and you watch the show like a decent human being. Okay. And so she's like, fine. Listen, you don't have to worry about me. And then Heather's little brother calls and says, listen, don't yell at the comedian. Don't do lines from the movie. Don't do any of that stuff. She's like, what is your guys' deal? And they're telling this story on the patio. And I said to her, I go, you know, maybe if you look at the fact that there is a phone tree that has been established to keep you in line, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's a little bit of you. And maybe, you know, if it was just your sister, I'd be like, oh, she's a little uptight because she works there, you know, or something like that. But if both of them have to get it, and they're not even like, they didn't call each other to say, okay, I'm going to, no. They just independently thought of it on their own. Somebody's got to step up and tell the oldest child to shut up while they're at a show. Maybe that's on you. Maybe just a little
bit. It's like an episode of 24, like who can get to Tracy first. Disable the bomb. Brian's calling me. Are you in the car with her? Yeah, let me talk to her now. Okay, here, Tracy.
It's just yelling. Yeah, like, I need to talk to her now. No, I can't get to her. She won't get in the car. She's too drunk. No, get her in the car. If you don't get her in the car in the next 30 seconds, democracy as we know it will end. Like, it's that situation. Like, so sure enough, she was fine in the showroom, but then she gets a little saucy and then starts saying some inappropriate things to Mr. Wilson. While in his green room, to the point to where, like, even when you retold the story right before we turned on the mics, you had to like clap your hands like she's a dog that's misbehaving. Like, okay, time to go. Stand up, everybody. Here we go. And then she went out on, like, because I was even before she left, because then she went out on the patio, and I remember you trying to carry her across the mop tile floor. She's like, I'm fine, quit. And I was like, I'm saying, no, there's a wet floor, dumbass. It's not just you drunkenly stumbling across the tile floor. There's now an added difficulty that you are not aware of, okay? Like, just let your siblings help you. Let them help you out. And while we're on the subject, we'll take a break from the kids. Let's I want to talk a little bit about your family life because this maybe isn't within the theme of the show, but it's very entertaining. It's what a lot of your act is about. We were just telling stories about an intervention that you had or something with.
Right.
Was this with the same sister or the other one?
Different one.
Different sister. Got it. Okay. So this is number two.
Yeah. You know, I kind of felt like, you know, when I was younger that, you know, we'd have kind of funny stories about our family. But you know what? We were intelligent. And, you know, if we were like the smart, you know, it was just kind of quirky. And now as I get older, they're just sadder and sadder stories. Yep. And no, nobody's like made it big doing, you know, nobody turned out to be a lawyer, a doctor. It's like just customer service representative.
I have the same feeling. I have that feeling of when you go, you're in it and you're young, you think that that's normal. You don't really know any different. Even though I had friends and went over to their house, like I just thought that, you know, families are different on small levels, you know. But then when you start, you get older and you start sharing stories about your childhood, about how your dad used to let you drink in the house when you're 12 years old because he just didn't want you to think that drinking was a cool thing to do and go out and drink and drive as a teenager,
right?
Or smoke a pipe when you're 8 in the living room. You know, you're just like, that's normal stuff. Didn't we all? Nobody else did that. Nobody did that. Nobody else's dad put a porno on in the living room when you're 7. Nobody else. I'm the only one. I mean, it wasn't intentional. He didn't say, sit down, son. I want you to learn about sex, you know? No, but, I mean, nobody else told their parents what the day after they lost their virginity, like the next morning, like, hey, guys, last night I had sex. It was awesome. You know what I mean? And then you had a celebratory pizza dinner afterwards. Nobody else went, oh, okay, wow, all right, you know? So it is. I could definitely relate to that aspect of it. So, yeah, so you... you're looking at your siblings and saying, like, at what point do you realize you have to have an intervention, and what was it for? Can I ask that?
Yes,
Is this getting too personal? I'm sorry.
Okay. She doesn't have a computer, so she won't. No, just kidding.
At the rehab clinic, they don't let them do the Facebooking? No, they don't? What if you said she's dead? She can't. Oh, God. Let's, Heather, chronological. We don't tell the death part until, you know, now everybody knows how the movie ends. All right, Heather? Like,
we have to get to the dead dad part.
Oh, boy. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Probably of eight people in this world that can say, we have to get to the dead part, dad part. That's going to be awesome. And I want you to know that a lot of people may be listening to this, that the laughter is covering a level of discomfort. I'm looking into her eyes. I don't see it. There's a sense of joy that, oh, this is why I love this woman. Anyway, I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you.
Okay, so Chris, maybe I should make up names for him.
Just say the sister is fine.
Okay, sister. Okay, so we had this was probably about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and she had, we think she had a problem with meth. I think that was the drug of choice at that time.
Yeah.
And it came down to, you know, a lot of, you know, borrowing money, not showing up, things like that, just to the point where it's like, okay, this has got to stop. And so, you know, we didn't consult with any sort of
professional
about mm-hmm. how to do
I did
this.
Not, I don't remember that part of the story. Makes no, it even no. better.
Didn't even buy a book. Didn't even read an article.
Did you even see, was the show, the show wasn't even on
A&E? No. Dr. Drew you was were, just, yeah, just an idea.
No, I'm saying the A&E show wasn't even on, right?
No, like, yeah, exactly.
How
exactly.
did you even know what it was? Was it an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm? Where did you?
Well, yeah, like, we knew, like, yeah, interventions definitely existed, you yeah, know, okay. before reality okay. TV. But
did you Google it? How did you? I didn't know they existed before A&E show. Like, I didn't know.
I mean, that's the difference between growing up in the Midwest and, like,
oh, okay.
You know,
it's more of a Midwestern
right,
cultural
maybe.
Thing to have an intervention. We call them family reunions on the West Coast. That's... That's how we roll.
Again, you know, we were an intelligent family at one point. You know,
we still so are, in my opinion. Like, I'll be honest.
I'm sure I read an Time article about it.
Newsweek.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's not covered in either of those publications. They do not talk about interventions for your meth addicted sister ever.
Well, which goes back to the first thing of, you know, again, we didn't consult, which is why I think it went downhill right from the beginning. You know, like,
probably a good sign.
Right.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
Yeah. So we invited, I guess, you know, point one is not to tell her, you know, before she comes over that, oh, we just want to talk to you, you know, at 8 in the morning. And then, you know, already she's got to guard up a little bit.
When you say point one, is this like a bullet points of throwing your own intervention?
Right. Of what not to do.
So you had to have found that on the internet or something, like, there, you know, step one, don't tell her why she's coming over, but invite her over, kind of thing.
Right. Except we didn't read any of that. So
did you just sit down together and come up with this game plan?
No, I think it was just really spur of the moment. Again, I don't put a lot of
common knowledge here.
Like, major life events, like having kids and throwing interventions. We just, like, wing it. We just, like, fuck it.
Because, like, maybe is it covered in school? Like, the basic idea of an intervention in the Nebraska school system?
Maybe it was like a 90210 episode when I was in seventh grade or something. I don't know.
A 902. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I mean, maybe at the end. I don't. Yeah, not in seventh grade, 90210. Maybe towards the end of 90210. Now it's like, oh, Luke Perry's got Dylan's got a drug addiction. He's all by himself. You know, he's been jumping around between Tiffany Amber Thiessen and whoever else was in that cast at that time. Yeah, okay. All right, sorry. So step one, invite her, but she doesn't know why.
Right, except, you know, we kind of told her. Again, that's, you know, so now I have...
You already broke that rule?
Right, yeah, I already broke that rule, because these are the list I'm giving you are the things not to do.
Like, so it failed, and then you went and learned how to do it.
I don't even know if we... I think we just stopped trying to have him after that point.
We're not good at this. We need to stop it.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So you told her, I need you to come over for your intervention?
Yeah, basically, like, we're just... Can we go over to mom's house? We're going to... You know, we just want to talk.
I get so this is what you're talking on the phone. Like, why? What do you
exactly.
want to talk about?
Exactly. So already, like, her guard is up, and she's getting her little, you know, story straight.
What do you need to see me for?
Right. And she's going to come in, like, on time and perfect, and hair done and teeth in and everything. And so,
wow.
Just kidding.
Wow.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
She won't.
Oh, shit. Okay, so.
Yeah, I found that with this show, there's a lot of people I have to not tell this show. don't. You're not alone in this, Hector. It's not like you're going to get a Tonight Show or Star Search or anything out of this podcast. I can guarantee you that. It might be our most popular episode. It might be a fan favorite. I'll give you that.
I have a Child Protective Services at my door.
But international recognition? No, not yet. Okay. We haven't gotten even in God. I think that's the thing you're doing right. I'll be honest. That's the positive you've got going for you. Anyway, I'm sorry. We keep interrupting. It's taking us 45 minutes to tell this story.
So then she brought breakfast for everyone. So, you know, I don't know what the courtesy is on that. Like, when you're having an intervention for someone, can you eat the food that they brought? Like all these menus.
That's where a professional would probably advise you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe do it.
Did that ever come in where you're trying to say, hey, you need to clean up your life? And like, well, then stop eating my eclairs. Yeah, stop exactly. It. Put it down. Yeah. Did that come up at all?
No, it was just, it got just, really just awkward. You're trying to talk and you're like,
you're literally eating the food while you're telling
her. Why am I trying to tell the story? Yeah.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
Tracy, I'm going to have to pass to you for a second because I got to finish this.
I need some milk or something.
Did you bring coffee at least?
Yeah. Mom, put a pot on. All right, so.
And then, so everybody, and nobody like wrote a letter or anything. It was basically everybody took a turn of just yelling at her.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't even, it got very emotional quickly. It was like.
But not like sad emotional, like angry.
No, like angry. Totally. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what is that? Like, just calling her on and everything that she's done. And, you know, so it wasn't like a, you know, try not to be emotional. You know, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know why she got so defensive.
Right?
I don't know
what that's about. Her entire family puts together, asks her to bring breakfast to them, and then berates her and her life choices. You know, sure, she knows she's got some baggage, but to be defensive about it is just inappropriate. Inappropriate.
So she quickly escalated to the point of, and she's always been like, you know, take no shit woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she will get in fights.
She'll
with
fight
people,
you. Yeah.
Right. I've never been in a real fight. You know, maybe like I've shoved someone once, but never like in a fight. Oh, it came to fisticuffs. Like we were like in each other's faces. And I was ready to like just, you know.
Punch.
Right, right. And
wow.
Then the other sister had to step in. Oh, by the way, the other sister I think was pregnant at the time.
Of course.
So she was probably like four or five months pregnant.
Of course.
And so she's about ready to, you're sticking her belly in between us. Like,
yeah.
The other one. Using her
in utero child as a shield to between the two of
as
you.
As the rev.
That's great. Outstanding. Outstanding.
So, and that's probably why she didn't get in a fight with her.
Yeah.
And that ended pretty quickly. And then, but I'll say, you know, the end of the story is she eventually got help and she's fine and she's, you know, a mother and has beautiful children. And
so there you go. Listeners, you don't need a professional to throw a good intervention. Sure, it gets awkward fast and angry fast. And
Charlie Sheen thing.
She did. She toured. She did live shows in a Ustream thing.
She manages it socially now. And so she's fine. We have all the faith in the world.
Everything will be okay. She manages it socially.
No, but she did get help. Yeah. It was, other than that, I think, I'd like to think maybe we helped her in the right direction with that.
Yeah.
She probably would have gotten help a little bit better. had we been better.
No, I think, well, let's not get wrapped up on like what could have been done, because then we're gonna lose how it's funny. I don't want it to get too crazy.
It's like,
real.
Be, like, really sad.
I don't want to bum you out at all. Like, that's not the
intent. I did come up with a good joke about it, so,
right?
Yeah,
and great story.
I do a joke about a meth addicted babysitter, so that's inspired by her. I let her know.
That's nice. You call it babysitter, not aunt.
I did.
Yeah, that's good of you.
See? Babysitter.
I still love there. Okay, so let's talk about the laughable dead father now, and then maybe we can move on to more familial things. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to blow it, because I think all I remember is kind of the punchline to this story. So. Do you feel comfortable sharing this?
Oh,
story?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, my father passed away about, like I said, this is like, I can't wait to tell it. Yeah. Okay. This is an awesome story.
I know.
So my dad died.
Awesome. Awesome. Winning. Duh.
And so this has been about 11 years ago, and he had taken, what was the Viagra? And he was also on blood pressure medicine, and the two had an interaction.
Oh, no.
Did you not know this part?
I don't think so. If I did, I don't remember that part. 'Cause I was like, oh no, like This all of a sudden became like a horror movie where you see where this is going. You're
right,
like, oh,
right.
No. Like, yeah. Don't go upstairs.
Yeah. So she, okay. So, yeah. And by the way, this is what happened like 11 days before Viagra came out with the official statement that you can't interact the two drugs together.
Of course.
So, right. So it was right. It was a new on the market. And I think the reason, you know, they probably had known some, I don't know, like I think two different doctors had given it to him and like maybe one was a sample. So it wasn't, you know, all the checks that normally probably would have been suggested at the pharmacy or doctor mm-hmm. were not done anyway. Him and my mom were together after my mom had just returned from a business trip. And so they were spicing it up a little bit and he had a heart attack and died. And so that's the story. So like, well, you know, but we were like, well, that's the best way to go. Like, yeah. If you're just going to go, like, boom, heart attack while you're, and then, but then we refer to my mom as having a killer pussy now.
Yeah. And now does mom think this is funny?
Or? Yeah, she's gotten used to it. Like, yeah. Yeah, it took a couple of years for the pain to turn
grown
into funny.
On her. It's grown on her. I mean, we've beaten it into her, literally. I mean, just verbally, we just not let up. She's going to come around. Eventually, it's going to be funny. Mom, comedy is tragedy over time. All right. It's going to be just fine.
So there were a lot of stories about, you know, jokes about pup tent and, you know, like, well, you know, what, when did rigor mortis set in and did you finish, you
oh
know,
gosh,
like,
God.
Like, yeah. So my mom, yeah, it took, you know.
Now this might, I'm hoping that people aren't listening to this like, oh my God, like, you know what I mean? Because like I listened to it and there is like a sense of joy to like, it seems to me that he had a full life. He,
right.
You know, he was a happy yeah. guy. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem, I'm sure, you know, 3 days afterwards, it was very tragic and still kind of sad. But,
yeah.
You know, this is 11 years now. And am I right in that assumption? Or was
yeah,
that kind
like,
of the vibe?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, definitely we all miss him and we all wish he were still here.
Obviously.
And, but there's the aspect of that, that there's not like a, like, even the way he died is hilarious,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, bravo.
Yeah, well done. Like,
yeah.
Was your dad a funny guy? Like,
He was really funny.
So he would have probably
yeah.
appreciated the circumstance, you think?
I don't know if he'd really would have appreciated the jokes at, like,
oh,
I don't know.
At his wife's expense?
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, so, yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Killer pussy.
For some reason, I thought it was vagina teeth. I don't know why I don't know
did
why
we,
that came up. I don't know.
It was the movie Teeth? About
teeth?
The... vagina dentitis or whatever.
No.
The movie Teeth. You ever heard about that
no.
movie? About a woman who had...
Even your entertainment
teeth.
Is like... We're like what
it's
do you
actually
get?
A pretty good movie.
What blockbuster do you go to that you could get a movie about dental issues within a vagina?
This girl had... It's like a really campy film. It's like really just...
I'm hoping.
Really,
it's not a feel-good love story or a rom-com. About teeth in a vagina?
But it did have... Oh, but the part about that movie I remember is the guy who played her stepfather was the same actor who when I was like in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
he played in an after-school movie about a pedophile. And he was the pedophile. He was like the creepy babysitter. But I just remember thinking, God, he's really cute. Like, I thought really unfortunate. I think he might have gotten typecast after
yeah,
that.
Right. That's hard. That's hard to break out of.
Yeah.
That's hard to break
but
out
it's
of.
Like, that's a bad message. You could at least like make him look ugly or something,
yeah.
like creepy. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Dead sexy pedophile. Wouldn't
right,
mind him
like,
touching me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like probably like 12 at the time. Like, well, that's I'd get me some of that.
I don't know what that kid's complaining about. Lucky. Father O'Shanahan, he is not a looker. That dude is 67. He's got two heads of hair coming out of each ear. Hands all shaking all the time. I could use a nice little washboard, you know, that little muscle right next to the groin area is still showing like he's Matthew McConaughey. You know, he blesses me and then just ravages me. This is inappropriate. This is what you do to me. Okay, so let's go back to your kids.
Okay.
Unless there's any other story I'm missing.
No, I think so. Yeah, I was trying to think. There was a lot of other funny things about my dad dying, but I can't think. I mean, it was like the funeral and everything. But no, he was a great guy, and I would think that would be, like, his wish would have been, like, if he had to choose a way to go out, it probably would have been... I'll go out fucking.
I can't wait for Abe's email for you about perspectives.
Perspective.
I cannot wait.
Bring it, Abe. Bring it. You want to see me go off?
Oh, this poor guy. I'm sorry, Abe. You catch so much fun. I hope you laugh at this. I really hope you do. I'm truly sorry if you're like, no, just let it go. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm really sorry. This is hard because it's funny to us. I hope you understand. So let's go back to your kids. So you have this large family. I'm trying to figure out what I want, like what I'm more interested in. I'm very interested because for me, coming from the perspective of someone who has one child, and now I'm about to add another one to the mix, and it's like it seems daunting to me. I think it's because you said like, well, we already knew we wanted three. Three seemed like your minimum number, right?
Right, right.
So I kind of was like, two is my maximum number. So maybe it's just in the wiring. Do you think that's fair? Did you come from is it because you have a lot of siblings?
I don't know. Yeah, I think
what put the number three into your head? Maybe that's where.
Well, it actually started with the number five, you know, and I think it was just because, you know, the kids up the street when I was growing up, they had five kids in their family and they seemed to, I just, you know,
nobody's vaginas were killing anyone.
Nobody's kids got along.
Donut interventions. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, everything seemed happy.
Right.
And so your thought process is that you would have had one more sibling that would have solved all your problems.
We would have been not the white trash of Omaha. Yeah, the red. Because there's such a huge age difference. There's a 15-year gap between the oldest and the youngest in our family. So,
oh, really?
Like okay. 6 years, 6 years, 5 years. I think me and my brother are the closest, and that's, you know, 3 or 4 years. So I think just, you know, having the kids closer together, making, you know, and there's a huge gap between Elliot and Liam, but that's, you know, not for lack of trying. It was just difficult to
that's
have that.
That's the way it happened.
Right. And okay. So, yeah, I think that was maybe, I think we just like wanted a gaggle of kids. And I don't know. I mean, there's probably something wrong. There's probably like a medical term for that.
No. Well, and it's funny because I've said it on this show that I do think that after so many kids, and honestly, I think that you are the exception to this rule because I've interacted with your kids and they're beautiful children. They have lovely personalities, and you know there is that sense of kind of what I would describe as, from an outsider's perspective, I hope you don't take offense, but it is like an organized chaos.
Totally.
You know
right.
what I mean? Where, yeah. And but you look at these kids and they are not neglected in any way, shape, or form, which was always my issue with like situations like the Duggars. You know what
right,
I mean? Where it's like,
right.
really, how can you have 19 children and give them all love and attention? You know
right.
what I mean? We had a listener, I don't know if you heard that episode, but we had a listener write in who's like, well, they're very grounded kids and everything. And I'm not denying that. It's just, and I'm allowed to disagree because it's just an opinion. I just think, when one kid is literally almost raising the other one because
right.
you're taking care of an infant, for me, that's, you know, that's, but the real issue that I have is the way that they're fucking up our gene pool. That's what I don't like. I don't need Duggar genes. You know what I mean? I don't need it to be 40 years from now. People are going, I'm part German, part French, part Duggar.
Part Duggar.
You know what I mean? I don't need a Duggar race is my
issue. I don't believe in Darwin. Yeah. God. Yeah, that's the like, I love that family. Just, you know, they just seem to all get along. And then they're at the zoo and the guy's like, oh, we're from those guys. I don't believe it. I'm like, what? What? Like, this is, oh, shit. No, this is not good. You were almost a senator.
Well, I mean, that you could, I'm not trying to make it into a religious discussion necessarily either, but
right.
I don't even get as far as, I don't care what you teach your kids.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they're decent. Like, here's what I care about. And this is kind of screwed up. And this is, I think, why I like Adam Carolla so much is that if they grow up and they have jobs and they pay their taxes and I'm not taking care of them and on any level, great.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's fine. I don't care what you believe in. That's fine by me. What the issue that I have is that, you know, you're putting it on TV, like, you know, and then there are people that look at it and go, oh, that's a nice situation. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well. But the real issue is that I have is that genetically. Is that what, and I know it sounds stupid now, but believe you me, 40 years from now, if somebody says I'm 50% Duggar and 0.1% Cherokee, then I'm going to be like, I told you. I told you so, you idiot. I told you so. But anyway, my where was I? I got sidetracked on the
controlled chaos.
Yeah, you have the controlled, you know, the controlled chaos and the. I was trying to wrap my mind around the plan of the large family. I guess, right. is that you always knew you wanted to be a mom with a lot of kids.
I did. I always felt like I wanted a lot of kids. And Tate was an only child, which is interesting because this just blows his parents' fucking
minds.
I
was kind of an only child, sort of. I mean, only for the first like 6 years of my life. So I have a little bit of both where my siblings are 10 and 12 years older than I am almost. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, and I feel like I have a relationship with them, but it's just a little different. That's a lot of time. Now that we're adults, you know, and especially now that I have a kid, right. I get a little bit more of where they're coming from. But when you're 10 years old and your sister's having a party with her friends I was like 5 or 6. Our parents were just dating and she's having a party with all her friends. And I'm like this creepy little kid hanging out, like scrawny ribs showing. And I can do a cannonball. Look at me do a cannonball. Look at this jackknife. I can do a jackknife, you know. And you're 17 years old. That's not what you want,
right.
You know.
Yeah, it wasn't even that.
I wish it could be as cool as like she had a bunch of hot friends running around in bathing suits and I was into that. But it wasn't even that. You know what I mean? It was like, it was almost worse that I was just whining and not interested in trying to hit on them or accidentally get a boob graze or something, you know. But so did he want a lot of kids too, or
because
he was an only child,
right? And I think he kind of feels like he was always meant to have a lot of kids too. I don't know, like
he has said that to me. I think when I was talking to him,
I don't even know, you know. I'm like, that's good. That worked out then.
Yeah.
Again, we didn't talk about it a lot before it happened.
Planning is not your thing.
Right.
I like it.
We just knew when it was time to stop.
And I didn't know this. Colleen, the general manager at the Funny Bone, told you that they had a vasectomy party. Like they threw a party for your husband.
Yes.
When it's like, thank God. Yes.
Yeah.
So number 6 was the magic number that you're like, no, seriously, it's done?
Yeah. Like we're running out of money and place to put them.
Places to put them.
We're screwed.
Yeah. And we talk about that too, because that's the other thing that I think is interesting is that now that I'm a parent is that I still do. It's unfair to say that I don't, but you worry about that kind of financial providing for the kids.
Right.
And you kind of learn. And I don't know if you go through the same thing, but I have to remind myself. I have to remember that it's not the money that's in the bank, but it's the, you know, it's the hugs. It's the time that you get to spend with them. And you know, and even with you, like, I know that you probably don't have, you know, 5 hours of every day to spend with each child. Obviously, it's just mathematically impossible, but they have the camaraderie within each other. Like, do they get along well? Or
yeah, they do. The oldest one has very little patience for the ones just younger than him, the 7, 8-year-old one. He's great with the little ones, like the babies. And then it's just funny how they interact. It's just funny to watch him, you know. And the 7, 8-year-old, they're almost like twins. They're very close. And the 4-year-old just doesn't take shit from anyone. He's like comes in blazing, like fuck you, motherfucker.
Like, this is your youngest boy then, or
yeah,
what?
He's the youngest boy, and he's just like, I am fuck everyone. I am in it to win it. And he will just come in and like just pound someone and walks away. You know, and they're like, what the hell was that? So, you know, that's probably what's keeping him alive at this point.
Yeah. It's just bravado. What's the word I'm thinking of? Bravado? Bravado.
Yeah.
I was going to say gravitas, but I don't think that's the right word at all. So I said bravitas. I'm a moron. I am a moron. And I was making fun of you for saying Hal or something. What did you say at the beginning?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're going to edit it. Nobody's going to hear it anyway.
I'm not editing this.
God damn it. Damn it.
I probably was loud too. I'm sorry. She got me. She made me laugh hard. So talk to me. This is the other thing that, I'm sure you get these questions all the time, but it's, I think people who don't have this many kids, or maybe people who do, already know this, but do the pregnancies get easier, or is each one individually?
I think so. For me, it did. Yeah. And I know not a lot of people are as lucky. And I have the added part of it is I have Crohn's, which is the most disgusting disease in the world to have.
Here we go. Buckle up. Hope you're not listening to this over lunch, I guess. I don't know where this is going.
It's like it's a digestive disorder, you know, like in the realm
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
It's an irritable, no, what is it?
Is it irritable bowel syndrome?
No, it's worse. It's like irritable bowel disease or something like that. Like, what is it? It's an IBD.
What is that?
It's like worse than that. It's worse than the IBS.
Is it literally explosive? Like,
no,
does it have to be handled like a like high grade uranium? What do you mean?
I don't know, but I think Bill would have a lot of awesome words.
I know,
for
that's
this.
What I'm saying. I want to delve deeper so that I can, so ass, Bill can listen to this.
Ass hydroglyphics or acidoglyphics? What does he call it?
I don't know. He has a new one every time. Like, it's a gift for that man. It's an odd gift, I'll be honest, but it's a gift nonetheless.
So, no. Okay. So, so my symptoms were a little atypical, and like I went up to the, finally got diagnosed, and I was like, and right after the third one. And so the first, like second, third pregnancies were exacerbated because of the symptoms I was having with that. And then after that was diagnosed and everything, then I had the other three kids, and, but I was already on like medicine. So the, actually the last three went great. You know, the first one was hard because it's your first one. You don't know what to expect. You think you're special. You're not. You're like.
See, Natalie was, my wife was the exact opposite. The first one was cake.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The first, like, after she found out she was pregnant, a week and a half later, she got the flu. That was the hardest part for her other than the labor. She had flu for about 5 to 6 days. But it was just, you know, had to keep, as long as we kept Tylenol in her, then her fever dropped and she could eat. And she had a little bit of a, you know, hurling episode and that was it. But this one has been rough and tumble, like, and then she, the poor thing, she's been, I don't want to bring it out now, but like she's been really stressed, and you know, I talked about it, I think, on one of the episodes, I hope I have, otherwise I'm letting that cat out of it, but she had some little bit of early contractions. Yes,
right.
I did talk about
that.
She had early contractions and stuff. There's been a lot of stress for her, and I don't know how to relieve it. I don't know. I wish I had, what's that Indian guy who can heal people? I wish I had that. If I just go home and slap her on the forehead, then she'll relax and knock her unconscious.
Just knock her
unconscious. Can a roofie affect the child in utero? If I just roofie her and put her down like an elephant or something?
Like 7 months long, she's fine.
Yeah, she's
just
fine.
Just do it.
The kid's got lungs now. I'm sure it's okay. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I gave up my own crap. But you were saying that the first three were rough, the last three were kind of cake because you had the medication.
Yep. So I was on that, and that was fine. And I think, you know, and now I think my body is doing this thing. It was like, what, you're not pregnant by now? And like, my face is breaking out. Like, I think now, like, my body's trying to get rid of the pregnancy hormones, and like, I'm just having, you know, like, hair growing in weird places.
Yeah, I think you had something in your act about how, like, you know, like, because you do, your skin kind of just is nice when you're pregnant.
Yeah,
because everything,
and then when you're not, it just goes to shit again.
Yeah, you're like, I got
to
get pregnant. Do you have a joke about that where you're like, I got to get pregnant again to make this nice? Am I making, okay, I thought so. Because, like, that is funny that you're like, well, I can't afford oil or Olay, so I just got to get knocked up again. So what do you think here's the thing, I was going to ask you about any processes that you may have as being a mother of multiple kids, but clearly you were not a planner, so I don't imagine there's no routine to the day.
And I think that's actually the key of not going crazy, and probably the parents that have four kids,
you have no bar for anything to be there's nothing to be broken, because whatever we do, we're doing.
I don't have an A-type personality, so I'm not like, everything has to be this.
What about your husband? Is he at all? Or
a little bit more. Like, and that's funny because, like, I think I relate more to you and Bill a little bit, and Tate's more like the mom in a lot of respects. You know, like, Tate's the one's like, watch your language around the kids, Heather. You know. Is it necessary to say fuck? I'm like, son of a...
You're probably relating more to me than Bill, I would imagine. Bill laughs on a regular basis about the things that he is waiting for my child to get an eyebrow piercing and start playing with a butterfly knife and have greaser hair all different colors and shave a picture of his girlfriend in the back of his head. Like, I think on some level, that is what Bill is waiting to happen to me.
I had Liam and Aiden, the ones who were close together, had something where something came and bit me in the ass, like 2 years later, and I didn't, you know, I had made a joke that was for me, and I thought, I didn't realize Liam had heard it, and so I'll tell you the story first, and then you'll know what he remembered. Aiden came down and was he was six at the time, so there was, I'll say, five and six or whatever. Anyway, he came down, and he was the younger one, and he's drying himself off after the shower, and he's on the couch, and he's just bare ass naked. My kids like to be naked a lot too, like, not, you know, down to their skibbies, but so it's not unusual for them to walk down and get dressed downstairs, you know.
Yes, it is. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
That's usually where the unfolded laundry still is. Anyway, we waited to.
That's why they do it. Yeah. That's why they do it, Heather. There it is. That's the real answer.
So he came down. He was on the couch, and he's like drying himself off, and then and Liam was playing on the Wii on the TV, and he's just like, this whole thing, he's just staring at the Wii playing on the TV. He doesn't even like look away during this whole event. Anyway, so
now
then
he's naked while this is happening.
No, Aiden is, but not Aiden. Liam is playing on the Wii, and this whole
Aiden's
time
naked, getting ready and dressed downstairs. Got
and
it.
he's on the couch. Aiden is, and he starts drying himself off in his private area, and then he starts to get like a little woody.
Oh,
and then I know, and he's like, "Woo!" And he kind of hit it a couple times, and laughed. I'm like, oh shit, it's like a Greek tragedy. Like all of a sudden, like I'm gonna start poking my eyes out.
Yeah.
So then I was like, Aiden, like I don't want him to feel, you know, bad about it, you know, but I also want him to know that's not appropriate, you know, for him to do that. And so I'm like, okay, Aiden, honey, that's okay. I know that's a lot of fun, but you, honey, you have to, you know, and I just sound like an idiot.
Yeah. Like, there is no right answer.
No.
Because you said five or six, somewhere around there. There's no right answer to say when you masturbate, you go upstairs to your room. That's what
that
you want to say.
Because
you want to try and be progressive.
Right.
And you want to say,
I don't want to feel shame.
Yeah, no, yeah, don't be ashamed, because later it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. You know, if you don't have a chick who's willing to give it up like mom, you know, like you're just oversharing now. Like, then, you know, you're going to have to do that. And it might be a bathroom situation. You don't know. But not on the couch in the living room, son. That's not the point.
Right.
When the easiest answer is, I'm sure this isn't a lesson that needs to be covered now. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's definitely lots of moments of that as a parent where you're like, oh, I have to nip this in the bud. Otherwise, it's going to snowball. Everything is going to snowball, and he's just going to be a chronic masturbator in every public park in the world if I don't stop him from touching himself on this couch on this particular instance. I got to nip it in the bud now so he's not a flasher. And they're making Lifetime movies about him, and then some other 12-year-old girl is attracted to him. It's just an endless cycle. Heather, calm down. We're gonna hug it out. Calm down. I'm sorry, I interrupted your story.
He's a looker, though. He is. He's got bedroom eyes. I swear.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he's gonna be. He's the one I think might be gay too. So that's a whole nother road.
He's all over it then.
I know. So he's doing that thing, and I'm having my moment of like 3 minutes. My mom, I think, was there in the kitchen, and she's just like laughing at my attempt to try to talk to
him. Your struggle,
right?
Isn't that great for the grandparents where they just laugh? Ha ha ha.
Exactly. And so I kind of finished my little spiel, and Aiden at this point is just looking at me with this look on his face like, what in the hell are you talking about? Like, just kind of like half grinning, like, what was that? And then Liam goes, and this is the one who had been playing Wii the whole time, doesn't look away, doesn't miss a beat, goes, yeah, Aiden, when you're an adult, you have to pay someone to do that for you. And that's when I lost it.
What? I'm sorry, what? Now, is this where we get to go back and hear how that was ingested into the oldest child?
Right. So this is Liam who says that. Doesn't miss a beat. And then I hear my mom just scream in the kitchen because she's like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, what? And then, you know, okay, so go back 2 years before that. I think Liam had something where he was like.
So at this point, he's four.
Right. And he had like his hands down his pants, and I was putting him in the car. And I was like, oh, honey, you got to take your pants. And I was like, and I think I said something under my breath, like, yeah, when you're adult, you pay someone to do that for you. And so that stuck in his fucking head and pulls it out. And the timing is just perfect. So I was rather impressed.
Because here's what has to happen. I know that in a moment we like to look at kids and think, oh, they're just sponges. You know what I mean?
Right.
But no, he had to have digested that after you muttered that under your breath. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and so that's a little concerning. Like. Yeah. Like, he's already thought about, you know, like, okay.
He's like, what? Oh, we have to pay somebody to.
I'm just
scratching my balls. I gotta. There's a service for that? Wow. That's
I have to set
weird.
Aside this for 401k and this for prostitutes.
Yeah.
And
what percentage of my income am I gonna delegate to ball scratching? Ball scratcher? I don't even know grammar. I don't even know how you would structure a title around this. I'm only four.
I know. That kid does not. No, he's quite the little comedian, I think. But,
unintentional, or does he?
No, but
you think in that moment he knew he was being funny, or he was trying to be like an educator?
No, I think in the moment he knew he was trying to be funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think. I hope so.
Hope is the word
you're
thinking of.
But he'll do other things too. Like, we're at Disney World. And he loves SNL. This is probably not like, I let my kids watch SNL. Anyway, so.
No, trust me. You just haven't listened to enough episodes of this show to the things that my child has seen. You're fine.
We were walking to the parking lot, and this was about a month ago. My mom said, oh, look, there's a car from New Jersey. And Liam doesn't miss a beat and goes into the character, the Patterson character from Saturday Night Live, and goes, you want a place to take a, or no, you need to go to the bathroom? Go to New Jersey. And like does like the whole voice and everything. And like does that, and I'm like, bravo, that was awesome.
Son. Mommy's proud. Mommy's proud. That's good. Now do Celebrity Jeopardy. Do Celebrity Jeopardy for mommy.
Do Sean Connery.
Make mommy dance for mommy. Oh man, we already got to wrap it up.
That sucks. Damn it! I'm sorry.
Were you having fun? Was this fun? Don't be sorry. Are you talking about?
I did. The Tooth Fairy did. Now, as far as all the parents that have like four kids, I will have to say, like, you know, you will half-ass a lot of things sometimes. And in our family, the Tooth Fairy forgot to come.
On Tuesday? This is what just happened.
Yeah, this week. So my moment of the week is the Tooth Fairy forgot to come. That was for Liam. It took like two.
He's the second to oldest.
Yeah, yeah. This is the little comedian. Yeah. And he was okay with the 10 spot. He finally got like on night three.
Oh, so he got a guilt increase? Oh my gosh, $10 for a tooth? Wow. See, that's the bonus of growing up in a large family. There's a lot of parent guilt from lack of attention on one-on-one levels.
But the Tooth Fairy has like a very interesting backstory now of why she would not have come on the night.
I hope she wasn't stuck in an intervention and brought donuts. I just hope so bad. That is not what went down. You just start pulling things. She killed her husband with her vagina. And so then she couldn't come. I thought the Tooth Fairy is a guy, huh? No, that's all. She had a sex change. It was a boy. And so now does the Tooth story have children of her own, or what? Like, what is the backstory?
No, I think we, and I tried to put it back on him a little bit, like, well, where'd you put the tooth? You know? Yeah. Maybe she couldn't find it.
You put it back on him.
Right.
Oh, you put it under your pillow? That only works the first 4 of 8 times. On the 49th tooth, you actually have to put it in mommy's purse.
With a note that says,
and whatever,
please go to the ATM and get out.
And get out. So I deposited money into mommy's account. So when mommy takes you to school the next time, she'll swing by the ATM and get you a 10 spot. There's also an increase. There's a huge inflation on that.
There is a huge. He was really happy with that. That's, and like, awesome. He came to show you. He next day he goes, hey, look, the Tooth Fairy finally came, and she gave me $1. I'm like, that's $10. Like, just so you know,
just
kid.
So you know. Tooth Fairy, sorry for being late.
Like, there's a lot of guilt in that $10. You better know that what that means. Don't you know your number's stupid? Freaking math.
The other thing I want to say, too, before we wrap it up, because I think it's kind of along the same lines, is that I still haven't figured out if it's serious or not, but I like that it could be, is that you have joked with me where I said that I had to do some gig or something and I was going to miss my son's second birthday possibly or something like that. And you go, oh, to make me feel better, you go, nah, don't worry about it. You know, some of the younger ones, we forgot it was their birthday, so we take an old picture and Photoshop them in front of a cake. They're only two. They don't know.
That is one of the benefits of having multiple kids, is because we have like a stock pile of photos.
Do you change the cake at all, or you don't change the color? It's just the same cake. You put a new kid behind it.
Now with the magic of Photoshop, you can make it like a really awesome cake that I made. Just take it from some magazine. So we've not actually done the actual photoshopping, but because we have time, they haven't asked to see pictures of them growing up yet.
Yeah,
and so we have some time to.
But you have like, you've forgotten. Oh crap! Today,
but we definitely put it off. Like put it off. You know, I think we missed one of theirs. The first or second birthdays. I mean, number two birthday, like, he's not going to remember.
No.
He's not going to have any friends to bring over.
No, it's true, though. I mean, like, a lot of people may, I don't think so, because I the listeners on the show get it. But, I mean, somebody might be new to the show in this episode, and they're like, that's a horrible. No, come on. We all know the first 2 to 3 birthdays are solely for the parents and the grandparents and the friends and the family. It's mostly for the parents and the grandparents. Anybody in extended family could really give a crap about what your kid is doing.
Oh, yeah, we quickly learned that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, number one got a lot of shit.
Yeah,
2 through 6.
Well, for you, I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? I gotta break into my kid's child like college fund to be able to buy another Tonka truck for your 2-year-old. There's gonna be another one swinging by in a year. I don't have the kind of income to do. It was a down economy, Heather. All right, your kids are not helping my
That's
situation.
Exactly what my sister is saying. I mean,
How many kids does your sister have? Just out of curiosity.
My sisters, each of them have 2, and then my brother has a little girl. So my brother is a single dad.
So your oldest sister has 2 kids?
Yeah.
All right, we need to get a Facebook page for something for these kids.
Find some place for them
they
to
are,
go.
Oh, yeah. No,
they're in trouble? No, don't tell me that. No, I'm sure they're fine. They're fine. Let's just move on. Happy ending. Yay! No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I want to say this because it's been for humor or whatever, that while I'm sure that the facts of the story are true, I think it's a little unfair to be that hard on your sister. Do you think that's fair to say?
Like, no, absolutely not.
Oh, let her have it?
Bitch put me through hell.
So we should be worried? We should be calling somebody to take away her children?
Is no, that oh, no, 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 okay, no, right, no, good. No.
She takes care of her kids.
She takes care of her kids, okay, yeah. Right, no, yeah. She's a great mom, yeah. You know.
All right. But when she's not being a mom, she just cuts loose completely.
Exactly. There like, yeah, go. When she goes out on night, here's the thing. Yeah. She doesn't have a drinking... Her drinking problem is like when she does drink, she doesn't know when to stop. You know what I mean? So it's not like she's.
So the kids keep her in line.
Exactly.
What she needs is an obligation. Right. It is when she was without obligation that things become troublesome.
Exactly. Yeah. If she has a chance to cut loose, she really goes, like, she packs like a year's worth of drinking into one night, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah. I know. It's great.
Awesome.
Not, didn't always used to be that way with her. Like, most of her 20s were spent. Pretty much drunk, but after the kids came, no, she's a great mom.
I'm sorry, I want to get back to wrap it up too, but do you have any other moments with any of the other kids at all? Or
oh my gosh, Aiden,
I'm sorry, but he's the oldest, am I right?
No, he's the one that might be gay. Okay. And no, he's great. He does these wonderful pliés, and
he's big time into like the dancing and the ballet.
Dance and ballet. Yeah,
what got him into ballet? Was it just a show?
He loves to dance, yeah, and he just does these wonderful moves, and he's just
imagine that he is straight. Imagine the tail that kid.
Oh, I know he's gonna put it away.
He's also the looker, right?
He's the one that's the looker. Oh
my gosh.
Yeah. So if he does end up being straight, oh my god, I'm gonna be your grandmother.
So
by the time.
Don't worry about education. Yeah, that's what you gotta push with him. You gotta push birth control with that one, because you get him into a ballet class where he's my wife. She grew up dancing as a child, and if you're a straight dude in a dance class. There are some needy chicks who would love for you to try to fulfill a need that they need filled, if you know what I'm saying. That's, you know, it starts off with attention, and then as soon as, you know, they're ready to rock and roll, they're running rock and roll. It was close. Like, drama kids don't even compare. Can't even touch dancing girls.
Because
why? Because drama chicks, they just have like emotional needs.
Right.
Dancing chicks usually also have physical body issues. So if you just, all you gotta do is tell them they're pretty and their clothes fall off. And they're like, let's do this right here, right now. Are you straight? You're kidding me. The only thing with testosterone within 200 miles of me. This is awesome. You know? And you're everything about a good like heterosexual male dancer is just a turn on for women. Like everything about them is rigid and hard. Like everything like sexual. Like it's just, and they manipulate you and like they're throwing you around and
yeah.
I just turned myself on a little bit. Anyway, I'm sorry. So he's dancing a lot.
Yeah, he's dancing. He loves to dance. Elliot's just like a little smart ass. He's the oldest one, smart kid. Just. They're just all fun.
He is. I'll tell this story too. When we went to pizza, he's one of those kids that's almost smart to a flaw,
right?
Where like it comes to bite him in the ass. Not flaw. That's not finished. Right. It comes to bite him back in the ass. Like we went to this pizza place, and they had like gumballs or something like that. And it was one of those things where you put a quarter in it, and he was like. Oh, he had an idea to take a piece of the cardboard or like a paper plate,
right?
Manipulate to the shape and size of a quarter. So he had the wherewithal to think of that. But then when he puts it in the machine and tries to turn it, now there's paper jammed in the machine and you can't.
So we had an unpapered.
Yeah. So your husband has like a multi-tool, which I'm sure people think is for his job. No, it's for his children. He has to constantly be prepared with a portable toolbox.
Swiss Army knife. Yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome. So, yeah.
The poor kid, too. He felt so bad.
He did, because like, I think he was like, and I think he might have gotten one out, and then he tried to turn it again, and nothing came out. And then at that point, he had to fess up that he had broken, you know. And I was like, oh, man. Like, I know he was just trying to, you know, be funny
He just had an idea. He thought he was being clever and didn't think past that to think what could possibly be the consequences.
Right.
Like, he's that kind of, like, inventive, creative mentality where I don't think what's going to happen. Well, I wonder where he gets that from. Where we're just going to do stuff. We're not going to think about
the consequences.
We're not going to think about what's going to happen. We'll deal with that when we're there. That'll be fun. I didn't think of that until just now.
We're getting married.
Yeah, whatever. So, I don't know what number we're at. Are we halfway through?
No, he's good. He's an awesome kid. He always tries to get out of like altar service at church and things like that in a very smart way. Like, oh, I'm having stomach aches, you know. Like,
yeah.
But anyway, so, and then Liam, just like the comedian, Aiden. My Little Precious. Oh my gosh. And he's very much a drama king.
Yeah.
And then Ewan, Ella, she's princess.
Ella Lily. Was Ella the little baby when we went to that pizza place?
Yeah.
So there's a new one that I haven't met. Then.
I think I was pregnant when we went to the pizza.
Yes, you were.
So Lily and her.
Ella's adorable. Just a sweet
she
little.
She's a cutie. Oh, she's a little princess.
Little round face, little pretty eyes. I remember, just smiling all the time, having a good old time, eating Cheerios off the table. It was awesome. Yeah, she's a cute kid.
They're all,
How old is your youngest now?
A year. She just, almost a year. Tax day, a year.
Wow, it's been a year.
I have to do my taxes.
That's how she reminds you? Does she make the cutoff to where she could be a dependent?
No. For last year. She would count for last year and this year.
Oh, it's not the tax day. I'm an idiot.
It's the year,
For some reason, I thought April 15th was the cutoff.
Yeah, but Ella's my favorite because she was born on the day after Christmas. I'm like, yes.
Just in time.
Yeah, I know. I get an extra $600.
You know, I'm going to I didn't tell this story on the last episode that we did, and I'm going to share it now because I haven't had really anything come up. It's just been the same thing I talked about when the previous thing that we released with Tom is that we went to go have dinner with my wife's sister at Downtown Disney, and Jacob was going nuts, like, oh, look, it's Goofy, and And with that thing happening with Natalie, with her being stressed, and it was a Thursday afternoon, she didn't have to go back to work, and we didn't have really any responsibility. I just said, I go, you know what? Let's go to Disneyland today. Why not? And she's like, what? I go, let's go. Who cares? We got a tax return coming. Let's have some fun. And as the listeners may find out, this can come back to bite me in the ass. I might be in a little bit of trouble. Heather knows. Blah, 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 blah. Justin, shut up. So it was a nice, fun, spontaneous thing as a family and as a dad. And I was kind of locked into my dad's like teachings of, you know, you don't take a kid to Disneyland until they're five. I didn't think he would really appreciate it. And he didn't remember, but there also is something to be said about the memories that you get to have of your kid. And I'll never forget him looking at probably some of the most archaic technology existing in entertainment today that you pay top dollar for and just being mesmerized.
Aww.
Because on that level, he connected with the tone and the intent and not the technology. You know what I mean? Not those shortcomings. Just the idea of the tiki room of just celebrating like songs and birds moving. And he just loved it. He just loved everything was just whoa. And we were only there for maybe 4 hours, but and we'll go back. The first ride he went on was Pirates of the Caribbean, and and he went, you know, you go down that dip. Have you been to Disneyland?
Disney World, not Disneyland.
Oh, man, Disney World.
I love my kids.
How dare you bring you on my show. I'm gonna edit this now. Make
like
you sound
4
like
4 hours
real...
at Disneyland. Bring it. No, I'm just kidding.
We spent 11 days and 10 nights at Disney World. We have all your rides, only on a 10 scale. So we go down. I hate you. We go down the first dip, and it was dark. You know, he kind of. I felt that he was sitting in my lap, and he tensed up. You know, and I said, hey, it's okay. Dad's got you. I'm right here, you know? And he was just like, oh, like, and he put his fingers in his mouth. Yeah. He's like, kind of, what the hell did I get myself into? And Natalie's niece was sitting there, or kind of like niece-in-law. I don't know what the hell the term is. But her nephew's fiance or whatever. So anyway, she goes, hey, put your hands up. You know, put your hands up. It's fun. And so he kind of like reluctantly goes like, this doesn't make it any more fun, you know? So we went down again. And then they have this new part at Pirates of the Caribbean from the movies where they put Davy Jones, you know, the guy with the octopus face.
Right.
They project him on a fake waterfall and he's talking to each boat as it comes by. So we see the boat in front of us and it's getting talked to. And he starts panicking. He's like, no, I can't touch the octopus. He thought he was going to have to walk up to it. And he's like, that guy's scary. And so I just kind of put my arms around him and I said, hey, I said, Dad's got you. I'm right here. Dad would never let anything happen to you. And he was like, I go, okay. And he's like, okay. And I felt him like relax. And it was a cool moment as a dad to be like, hey, even though I was bullshitting him entirely, like, mission accomplished. You know what I mean? Like, so we went through the rest of the ride. And then we had a good time at Disneyland. It was a lot of fun. And then we go home. And then the next day, he was talking about Pirates of the Caribbean. Uh-huh. And then the day after that, he actually told my wife, he goes, we went to see the octopus, and Dad says, I got you. Nothing's going to happen. Like, aww, he remembered. Yeah, it was really cool. It was a nice, nice, cool thing. And I was glad I did the spontaneous, even though it ended up costing me a shit ton more money than what I thought it would. I'm still glad I did it. I really, really enjoyed it.
You can't take
that. There, that's our show. That was fun, right? What?
No, I'm just kidding. I just can't end it on a happy note.
I know.
Some
people have happy-go-lucky lives, Heather. That just happens. You don't have to come in and shit on everybody's parade. you have a website that is in construction. I know that. Yeah. Is there anything on YouTube? If somebody's I'm in love with Heather Jones and I need to find her and see where I can see her if she's ever coming to a city near me. Is there any way that people can do that? Or
I will fly them out here.
Whoa! And you can't afford that.
I just fell in love with whoever you might be talking about. really? There might be no. Okay, so the website is HeatherJonesComedy.com, and that should be released soon.
In the early 2013, you think?
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, see Avengers, the sequel, and the
and then Heather Jones. Oh, I'm on Facebook. Heather Jones. I think it's just Heather Jones.
There's got to be a ton of those, though.
Do you have
Facebook.com/ You don't know what it is?
I don't know what it is.
Well, look for Heather Jones. I know you're friends with me. They can find you on my friends.
Yeah, you can find it. Yep,
I think you're the only Heather Jones I know.
And I'm a fan of the Dads Are... I'm one of the 93 people who like your page on Facebook.
How dare you?
No, one of the 93.
That seems like a lot.
No. fans on the Facebook. There's only 93 people who would say that.
I know. I'm busting your balls because I can, because I love you. I said I'm busting your balls to a mother of six. I'm an idiot. All right. So find Heather Jones on Facebook. Tell her how much you love her and how much you loved her being on the show. Or you can send us an email and I'll forward it to her at show@dadsaremorefun.com. Give us a call, 408-228-4911. I think that's it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you kidding? I had a lot of fun. This was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I hope you had a good time, too.
I had a blast.
Good. We did a good thing here. We did a good thing.
Did you edit out the parts that make me sound stupid?
I'll be honest. We stopped recording 10 minutes. So on behalf of my good friend, Heather Jones, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.